We're calling it Best Year Ever. It's a brand new series. So grab your note sheet out of your program. We'll take a look. Here's our theme verse in the Bible. Here's what we're going to be working out of right here. I'll read it to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, circle that, in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Happy New Year. And in Christ, what does that mean? Follower of Christ, somebody that is walking with Jesus. What's it mean to be in Christ? Many things in life are in or out. I got tons of my buddies that play Texas Hold'em. They like poker. And when it comes around the time for them to bet, they are in or out. Maybe you've planned like a camping trip and you invited a bunch of people, you know, your friends or your family. You invite them all to come camping. And there's one family member that's kind of on the fence. Are they in or they out? Are they in or they out? And finally they decide, well, I'm going to go camping with you. And then they go camping and they're on their phone the entire time. You're like, I don't know if I'd really call that in or not. When it comes to following Jesus, it is sort of in or out. And you may be sort of still kicking the tires of Christianity or walking with Jesus. You may still be deciding, do you want to be in? And that's okay. East Lake is a church for everyone. It's a great place to process. You can belong here and call this your church way before you decide to be in with Jesus. You take as long as you need. But when you are in with Jesus, it makes the difference. Best year ever. So the question is how, and it's in your notes, it's the big idea. How will the Lord help us have the best year ever? Great question. Like, what's it actually going to practically look like if I decide to be in with Jesus? Now, there's a blank there, and just write the word partnership in. And I'll read you a couple parts of the Bible that'll explain it. So just say it looks like a partnership. I'll read the first one to you. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So here's the idea. We're sort of hardwired to want to make things grow. I mean, God could have made the garden where it just took care of itself. But he put these people in it. We're hardwired. In our DNA is to improve things and make things grow and make things better, including ourselves. Every year we make the New Year's resolutions. We have all these lists of things we want to get better. It's like we're created to want a thing. I can do better. It can be better this year. So in the partnership, this is what we bring to it. We're motivated. I want to do better in my relationships. I want my finances to be better. I want my health to be better. I mean, we're just hardwired to be that way. And that's what we bring to the partnership. That's our part. Now here's God's part. I'll read it to you. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So our part is we want to help things grow. God's part is he makes things grow. And there's a difference. But when the two come together, when there's a partnership, best year ever. So here's some practical stuff. Here's what it can look like. Here's kind of some elements of the partnership. And in your notes, write this very first one. Ask to be cleansed often. 2019, best year ever. How will it look? Ask to be cleansed often. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's not if I sin, it's when I sin. We're all going to make mistakes this year. We're all going to have regrets. We're all going to do things where we don't hit the mark. We're all not going to measure up somehow. Something's going to happen this year, just like it did yesterday. It's just inevitably. Now, here's the two things that can happen. Here's what it says, if I confess. Which, by the way, is not that easy because I don't like to talk about my mistakes and my sins. I mean, the qualifier, if I confess. I don't like to talk about the things that I do wrong or the mistakes I make. I'd rather talk about your mistakes. I'd rather point out the things that you do wrong. I'd rather my conversation be about what somebody else did wrong. I don't like to confess what I did wrong. But if I'm willing to, it says two things can happen. Here's the first one. I can be forgiven. The load of guilt. That's the first thing. 2019 can be the best year ever if I'm guilt-free. So every time I make a mistake and every time I sin and any time I don't hit the mark, I can ask and confess and be forgiven. So I'm guilt-free. Because if I'm not, it takes a lot of self-focused energy to deal with guilt. I got to come up with a lot of excuses. I got to defend myself. It takes a lot of energy to carry guilt. And you know how we carry it? We pretend we're better than we are. We'll never admit anything when someone says something. It takes a lot of energy to deal with guilt. It is so much simpler to just confess and be forgiven. We can be guilt-free in 2019. It'll make the best, not sin-free, not mistake-free, but guilt-free. Now, the second thing is a little different than forgiveness. It says we can be cleansed. And that's a little different because forgiveness takes care of things, but then why would I have to be cleansed? Not too long ago, I was on an airplane going somewhere, and we're coming back into Salt Lake City, and right before we got here, we hit this turbulence. It was crazy. I had never been afraid in a plane before, but I mean, this thing was rocking and turning, and I mean, it was just like going crazy, and it was going on, and I was like, 10 minutes, man. It was like in the sky, and I was holding on to the chair like, whoa, I'm starting to get scared here. You know, you're a dude, so you're not trying to look scared, but it's a little tough when your face looks like this. Are you okay, sir? Yeah. I mean, it was like crazy, like for 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden, it was just gone. It was smooth skies into Salt Lake. But here's what I noticed. My turbulence wasn't over. I was still sort of shaken up a little bit. Now, let me show you what it looks like to be cleansed. Why do we have to be cleansed at times after we've already been forgiven? I brought an example here. Check this out. So here it is right here. We all know what this thing is. This is gas. Here goes the cap. Now, let me show you something here. So let's say that I pour this gas in here. You're watching me do it. And then I say, hey, who wants a drink? I'm like, oh, come on, man. Everybody knows gas is bad for you. I'm not going to drink gas. Like, no, really, it's cold and it'll just be refreshing. No, come on, man. Everybody knows gas is bad for you. I'm like, okay, all right. So I take the gas and I pour it into this one right there. And that's what forgiveness looks like. Gets all the bad stuff out. Guilt-free. Okay. Now, I also brought along a quart of goodness chocolate milk, which suspiciously has a little bit out of the top. I don't know who did that, but. And this is the major food group right here, chocolate milk. This is a quart of goodness right here. So I take this right here and I pour it into this glass. But look at that chocolate. Now, you got to say, dang. And then I say, who wants a drink? Now, you saw the chocolate milk. You saw the goodness go in there. That's the forgiveness. But who wants a drink? Because if I come up and say, hey, do you want a drink? You're like, no. I'm like, why not? I poured all the gas out. And you're like, you didn't wash it. And that's the problem, isn't it? Do you know sometimes you can have an argument with somebody that is so intense, and you say things you regret, and you hit below the belt, and then later you go back and you ask for forgiveness and you say you're sorry, but a couple days later, there's still after effects, just like my plane ride. The turbulence is over, but not for you. See, this year, 2019, we're all going to do sinful things. We're all going to make mistakes, and we can be forgiven and guilt-free. But what about the after effects? Now, I borrowed these mason jars from my daughter-in-law because, you know, I don't know if you know, but if you go to some of the hip restaurants now, they're all using mason jars now. They don't have glasses. So I thought, well, I want to be hip too, so I'll get some mason jars. And I got some from my daughter-in-law. And I told her, I said, I'll be super, super careful. And when I get done, I'll give you the mason jars back. I'll be really careful. She goes, I don't want those jars back. You can put gas in them. I'm like, what? Why not? I mean, I'll take care of them. Like, I'm going to wash them. She's like, nah, I don't want them back. And I hung up the phone. I thought, I'm going to wash them. And then I thought, isn't that just like life? There are some things in life that no matter how much I try to clean them, no matter how sincerely I scrub, I can't get them clean. The after effects just keep coming. Only God can cleanse me. You might be struggling from something that you did a long, long time ago, and you're like, man, I've asked forgiveness so many times, and what if you went to God and said, would you cleanse me? Get all of it out of there. This year, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do stuff, and sometimes after we have been forgiven, we'll notice the after effects, and when that happens, don't freak. Just say, I need to be cleansed. Number two, write in your notes, pursue a goal. So the best part, you're going to have this great year with God, and the first thing is I can be guilt-free and then get rid of all the after effects, pursue a goal. Here's what it says, I do not run without a goal. I fight like a boxer who's hitting something, not just the air. So here's what that means. You and your buddies go in, you all pitch in, and you're going to get a pay-per-view boxing. You know, you're going to you all pay up pay-per-view, you're going to get a boxing thing. And so, you know, you all go over to somebody's house, pay-per-view, and the boxing match starts up, and there's like one dude in the ring, and he's dancing around, and he's just swinging at the air. Like, there's no other guy there boxing with him. You're like, what the heck? You know, round one is over, and he comes out again, and he just starts swinging in the air. You're like, I want my money back. It's like, and you're, this is ridiculous. And that's what, when they wrote this down, put it in the Bible, that's what they were trying to say. It's ridiculous to not have a goal. It's ridiculous to not set some kind of goal. It's, to not have north on your compass somewhere in a relationship, your job, your finances, your health. It's ridiculous to not do that. It looks like a boxing match with one guy. Now, I know why I don't set them, because if I don't have a scorecard, I can't lose. I hate feeling like a loser. If I don't have some goal out there, then I can't fail. Or I know people that are such perfectionists, everything has to be so perfect for them, they can't set any goals because they find fault with themselves as they're setting the goal. I saw this funny little card. Look at here, I'll read it to you. This is a perfectionist. I have CDO. It's like OCD, but all of the letters in alphabetical order, as they should be. How much of a do you get stopped from time to time because you're such a perfectionist? Write this in your notes somewhere, just in the margins. It's not about being perfect, it's about being present. God's not asking you to be perfect. Don't ask yourself to be. Just be present as a father. Just be present as a mom. Just be present as a spouse. Just be present as a worker. Be present. Now, this idea of setting goals, like, how do I set it and how do I know God's okay with it and what if he doesn't agree with my goal? Here's a part in the Bible. When you eat or drink or do anything else, always do it to honor God. And so here's the thing. What if in 2019, best year, what if you did this? When you went to set a goal, you just talked to God about it. Or if you and God partnered in a goal. I mean, when it comes to setting goals, think about this. I mean, who knows you better? I mean, God knows your past. He knows what you're going through. He knows what's coming at you in the future. I mean, isn't he the perfect person to talk to about what goal would be good? Because he knows everything. Set a goal with God for 2019, best year ever. Now, number three, right in your notes, we're ruffling through the stuff. Number three, establish a habit. Establish a habit, which is different than a goal. Goals on the outside, habits on the inside. Here's the Bible. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. So the idea is transformation is like, how does something change on the inside? Charles Duhigg is probably the authority in our day on what it means to have habits in our life. And I want you to see what he says, because he's talking about all habits, good and bad, have a process that's similar. And that's why they can be learned and we can put them into our lives. So I want you to hear what he has to say. It's just brief, a couple of minutes, but Charles Duhigg, check this out.
Just to give you an example of this, does anyone here exercise? It's a young audience. Anyone here wish that they exercise on a regular basis? Okay, so there was an experiment that was done in Germany where they took an audience like this and they said, all of you should exercise. And then they took about a third of the audience and they said, okay, look, this is what I want you to do. Choose a cue, like always put your running shoes next to your bed or go running with the same group of friends. And then when you get back from working out, give yourself a small piece of chocolate. Right? This is counterintuitive because not many people exercise in order to eat chocolate, or at least not quite that directly. And yet what the researchers suspected is that even though all of you think that you want to exercise, your brain thinks you're a liar and that you hate exercise. And the only way that I can trick you in exercise is to give yourself a reward you genuinely enjoy, like a small piece of chocolate. And in fact, 6 months after they did this, they found that 58% of those people were more likely to be exercising, and they had stopped eating the chocolate because their brain had learned that there's endorphins and endocannabinoids, these neurotransmitters that reward us for physical activity. But you kind of have to bootstrap your brain into believing that those rewards are real, with a reward that you genuinely enjoy, like chocolate.
Yeah, here's what he says about habits. Habits, scientists say, emerge because the brain is constantly looking for ways to save effort. Sometimes it looks like people with great self-control aren't working hard, but that's because they've made it automatic. They follow the habits they've learned. So a habit can really help us have a great, best ever 2019. I've decided I'm going to try to exchange habits this year. What he's saying a lot of times, it's not about breaking a habit, it's about replacing with a better habit. So here's what I'm going to do this year. Here's the big habit I'm going to try. I don't know why I do this, but I eat late at night. And so I like to eat late at night. I've done it for a long time, and I know it's not good for me. I never feel good when I do. I've got a really bad habit. I don't know what it is, but like at 10 o'clock at night, it's like a bell goes off, and I turn into a zombie. It's like whatever's in that refrigerator, you know, I'm just going towards it at 10 o'clock at night, or the pantry. It's just, I've been that way for a super, super long time. And the whole time I'm doing it, do you ever do this? You do something, but the whole time you're doing it, you know, you said you weren't going to do that again. It's like, shut up. You know, you just go do it again, even though you said you're not going to do it again, because it's a automatic habit. And so I'm going to try to replace it this year. I know that, you know, I shouldn't eat late at night. I don't feel good in the morning. I get lethargic. I shouldn't eat late at night. There's no time to be eating half a pizza, so just don't do it. But here's the thing. I have to replace it with something, so I've been trying to figure out what to do. So here's what I decided to do. I'm going to try to replace eating at night with drinking green tea, because I want to see really how powerful God is. I want to see if he can really play. If he can get me onto green tea at 10 o'clock at night, we serve a powerful God. I'm just telling you that right now. I don't know if it'll work or not. I'm going to put everything into it, but here's my question for you. What habit do you need to exchange? What habit do you need to start? Don't try to stop any habits. Pick one you don't like and put a better one in. And then remember this. You are wired to want to do better and make things grow, but God makes it happen. You're not alone in it. When 10 o'clock comes, I'm not going to pretend that I can do it by myself. That green tea will win every time if God is with me. Habits. Okay, next one. Use God's guided system. Tons of different guidance systems out there. Lots of different ways to navigate through life. Some people are very emotional. Some people very logical. There's lots of systems you can use to be guided. What I want to recommend is this one. From your guiding principles, I gain understanding. Therefore, I hit every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Now, in your program, you should have received one of these. It says Bible Snapshot. Everybody grab one. Just grab and make sure you got one. Everybody should have had one of these in your program, hopefully. I know the guys are like way too lazy to do it, but you'll make it. Just grab your program and pull it out of there. And so, I like how guys are. They're always like this. They don't even like do anything. But if they have a program, you say, hey, look inside your program, and they hand it to their wife. It's like, dude, your arms aren't broken. You can look in there. So anyways, this everybody gets one of these today. And if you didn't, they're at the free table. This is just a little slice of the Bible. I know That when you pick up that big book, it's intimidating. You're looking like, what are all these names and stuff? Ah, I can't do it. We created this because this isn't intimidating. This is a little bit of God's story that you can put in your backpack or your purse or carry around throughout the week and read 4 or 5 lines. Get some light into your life in 2019. Let that be your guidance system. It'll correct your paths. It'll put you on a better path. So just grab this right here. The first thing is the word. Now here's the second one. It's a little bit different. It's called praying. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now listen, this is what prayer is. Prayer is when you talk to God and you find out what he has to say. If you're a dad in here and you're raising kids, maybe you got a little bit of daughter and she's going to grow up and you're reading parenting books, and you're trying to be as smart as you can, you're trying to be as wise as you can, let me tell you something. You'll run into something at some point, and it'll make all the difference in the world to get God's opinion on it. You could be working for a boss somewhere, you're going through a new relationship, and you're just not sure what to do, and you're trying to figure it out. It'll make all the difference in the world. 2019, best year ever, if you could ask God and talk to him what he has to say. My sister's getting married this year, and she's a little bit younger than me, and she's getting married this year, and we're talking about this, and she was asking, you know, how she might include God in her wedding, and she was trying to figure out how he might be involved in her wedding, and she was thinking about it and talking about it, and as we were talking about it, I said, well, Liz, you know, if you want to know how God wants to be involved in your wedding, ask him. He's alive. Just ask him. It was like silence on the other end of the phone, you know. I was like, no, here's what I'm talking about. Here's what it looks like, Liz. I said, let's say, for instance, you decided as a gift you were going to take me to any NBA game in the entire United States, anyone that I wanted to go to. You were going to take me to it. You decided you were going to buy tickets and take me to that game. And then you're trying to figure out what game you should take me to, you know. So you're thinking about maybe what I said about, by the way, that would be a good day. Any game you're going to go to, she's, what? I've heard him talk about teams before. Maybe you call my wife and ask her what my favorite team is. And I'm talking to my sister. I said, you could do all that stuff. Or Liz, you could pick up the phone and call me and ask me what game I want to go to. That's all prayer is, guys. It's including God as a part of your guidance system. What do you think? You know, he'll even let us come to him with no strings attached. He doesn't make us sign a contract first. I'm willing to answer you if you do exactly what I say. Sign here, and then I'll tell you. That's not how it is with him. He can handle your disobedience. He can handle you rejecting what he has to say. Gosh, he died on a cross. Just go talk to him this year. Ask him, include him in how you guide your life. Best year ever. Now the last one, and this is a cool one, point people to God. You are the light of the world, the city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see. So they'll praise your heavenly Father. That's the ticket. You know, social action is wonderful, but if it's just social action for social action's sake, to make somebody feel better or meet their needs, that's great. But there's another step to it if it points them towards God. If my kindness or mercy or forgiveness or the way I treat people could point someone towards God. And I know that's difficult. And I'm not talking about being pushy. I'm not talking about jamming the Bible someone, you know, I'm not talking about judging people or telling them how they should live their life. That's not what I'm saying. I went to a jazz game, and when I got there, I had these tickets. I'd never sat in this section before. And when I got up the ramp, I was, you know, looking at my tickets and trying to figure out what to go. And somebody just came over to me that worked there, and they said, hey, let me see your tickets. And they looked at me, and they pointed. They said, oh, your seat's over there. I was grateful. I was in a building the other day, big, kind of a huge foyer area, and I saw this one dude over there, you know, kind of walking around like he didn't know where he was going. He was looking around, trying to figure it out. So I thought, ah, you know, I'll walk over, and I said, hey, man, you know, can I help you? Are you looking for something? And he's like, no, man, I'm good, like all guys do. You know, I'm good, you know, lost as heck. So I got away from him. I was like, all right, man, I know how I'd want to be treated. And so I just backed away, you know. But I'm watching him, you know. He's like almost going in circles, looking around, trying to figure out, and you know, and everything, you know. So finally I took a chance. I went over to him and said, hey, man, if you're looking for the receptionist, she's over there. He's like, hey, man, thanks. And he went towards the receptionist, and I pointed him. That's all we're talking about here. The assumption is that when they get a glimpse of how much God cares and loves about them, the point will be something they're grateful for. We're not pointing them to church. We're not pointing them to a book. We're not pointing them to a doctrine. We're not pointing them to rules. We're pointing them towards God. 1906, the huge fire breaks out in San Francisco because of the earthquake. 24,000 buildings burn up. 3,000 people at least died. And you know how the old saying is, run for the hills. Well, they ran for the shore. Fires behind them. They all ran, as many people as they could, they ran down to where the shore area is in San Francisco, right up to where the ocean was. Lots of people down there. And there was one guy that was over on the side. He was on his hands and knees, and he was like almost, he was crying so hard. And another guy went over to him, and he put his hand on his shoulder. He said, hey, man, it's okay. You made it. You made it. You're safe now. And the guy looked up at him. He's crying. And he said, I forgot someone. It's wonderful to be safe and saved. But it goes even to a greater degree of wonderful when we help someone else. Who in your life can you point? Best year ever. Partnered. Now here's the bottom line, and we're done. It's an unequal, I like this sentence here. It's an unequal but successful partnership. So the one who plants is not important, and the one who waters is not important. Only God is important because he is the one who makes things grow. It's the old story about the elephant and the mice that were, you know, there's a little mouse on an elephant and they're going across this old crickety bridge across a big canyon. There's a river below and the elephant's making this bridge go back and forth and it's crickling, you know, and the mouse is riding along and they finally get to the other side and the mouse looks back and goes, we sure made that old bridge creak. That's what it's like to ride along with God. Partnership.